Access number 30,010, Mr. Arthur Carter, Reel 2. Now, we were talking about a typical day when you were training with Beds and Hearts for a BME at Colchester from November 50 to, I presume, December 50.
November.
Through into December. What about drill? How did you take to drill? Have you ever done it before?
I was in the Army Cadets when I was about 14.
Well, let's look at that. I think we'll do that first, because we should have picked... That's my fault. I should have picked that up. Yeah. What prior training had you had with the Army Cadets when you were 14?
Well, as I said, I was in the Army Cadets, and we used to go on manoeuvres and things and do a bit of drill, which helped, I suppose, when I went in there, because I knew all the turns and things, about turns and all that sort of
thing. Where was it based?
That was at Wellingarn City, where I used to go, wasn't it?
And, I mean, how much drill had you done?
I don't suppose it was an over amount. I suppose I might only been in it about 18 months, because...
just to the end of the war, 44, 45. Yeah. What were the exercises like? When you went away with them?
What, the
Army Cadets?
Yeah, well, I say, it was training, more like wartime things. You had your rifles and things, dummy rifles and that. And we never had ammunition and stuff like that then. But
so rushing about, mock attacks.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, let's go. So how did you take? You've done a bit of drill. How did you settle in with drill with the real army then?
Yeah, I took to it quite good really. Yeah.
Did they all take to it, or...?
No, not all of them, no. No, there's the odd one or two that didn't kind of pick it up straight away, but...
Did you like drill, or hate it?
Yeah, I didn't mind it, yes. Didn't mind it.
Did you know why you had to do it? Did you know the point at the time? You might know now, but did you know at the time why you had to do it?
Well, I mean, obviously, we just thought it was part of the... what you know, to make you smarten yourself up, and you know, it's quite good marching about with the things like that.
So you got drill, PT, drill. What else were you doing?
Running.
You mentioned running.
Oh, did I? Yeah.
It's all in the PT. What about weapons training? How far did you get with that? What weapons were you using?
Yeah, I was using 303s.
Now, how did they teach you to fire the rifle? That's a Lee Enfield, isn't it?
Yeah.
How did they teach you?
It'd be a nasty kick in your shoulder, ain't it? We used to go on a rifle range with them, and you really had to hold that tight in your shoulder. Otherwise, give you a nasty, very nasty kick they did. I like the old Bren gun best. That's a lot.
Hang on, I will come to it. Yeah. Were you a good shot with a rifle?
Yeah, I was a medium shot because my father he had a 12 bore shotgun when I was 14. I used to go out with that shooting rabbits and things, and so I was a bit used to the old sights and things like that.
What do you think makes a good shot or a marksman? I mean, what is it? Eyesight, breathing.
Breathing has a lot to do with it. Yeah, you know, you've got to sight it up and then let your breath out, and then as soon as you're dead still, you fire it. You fire your shot. And if you could get a 4-inch group, it was pretty good at 200 yards.
Now, tell me about the Bren. What Bren gun training? You like that one? What training did you get on it?
We're in a firing range mainly.
Did they not teach you to strip it down?
Strip them all down. Same as the little Sten gun. We had those as well, small one. Just strip all them down.
Back to the Bren. I mean, did you do this business of stripping the Bren gun down blindfolded, or is that a myth?
they say you should do it blindfolded, but we never did do it blindfolded. It's quite easy to do once you've got a hang of them.
Now, what was it like to fire the Bren gun? And why did you like it so much?
With a Bren gun, you don't get a kick with it. It pulls away from you. And you've got to hold it back on your shoulder. And instead of a 303 nearly breaking your shoulder, it was pulling away from you. And it's more accurate because you've got a tripod on the end of there, your gun's on there, and you've got your sighting up there. And it's much more accurate as well.
So you're a good shot with that. What about the Sten gun then? I mean, that's a very different weapon, isn't it? What about the Sten?
Yeah, that was only a close quarter thing, really small bullets on those. I think we used to do always close quarter firing with those at dummies and things.
What range would it be effective to? In your, you know, with you.
Well, about 25 yards, something like that.
So that's really very close.
Yeah.
And were you warned about the risks, though? There's a lot of things you can go wrong with the Sten, like if you drop it, it can go off. Something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've got to watch your hand as well.
What do you mean?
Where it threw the dead cartridges out, you know. Your finger could, if you wouldn't watch it, your finger could be in the shot, like, you know, underneath.
In the mechanism.
Yeah, mechanism of it, yeah.
Would it cut them off or just cut them?
Well, I suppose it would cut them if you didn't hold it properly. I was always warned about it, told about it, so we never used to hold them properly and that, reload them.
What about bayonet? I should go with the rifle. Did you do any bayonet training?
Yeah, we used to do bayonet training, yeah.
What was it? What did you do?
Well, I used to run after these dummies. You'd run and then you'd kind of, you know, scream and shout and digging the bayonet into them, like, as though it was real body, like, you know. We only had them little pig sticker bayonets out there, in there, little ones.
Did you learn any bayonet, what they used to call fencing, with this business of bringing the butt through and all the rest of it, just, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah. We did do some of that sort of training.
Hand grenade?
Hand grenade, yes. Yeah, we did hand grenade.
What was the hand grenade training?
Basically throwing, pulling the pin out, and then it'd be behind a, like, say you're in a trench or something, and then throw it as far as you could, like, over on.
With a round arm action, you
could. Yeah, yeah.
And how far could you throw it accurately?
I don't know. I would say about 25 yards, 20, 25 yards, something like that.
So a cricket pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're pretty heavy, then.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you actually practice throwing the live ones there, or was that later?
No, we didn't throw the live ones.
Any other weapons you were being introduced to? On the basic course, you know.
No, we just had the three weapons, really.
So what else might you do? Did you have an assault course? Tell me about
that. Yeah, we've done that.
What was it like? How tough was it?
That was a little bit tough. Like, jumping on them, running through rivers and climbing up banks and all that sort of thing. Keeping your rifle above the water and that. It was all running around, and I think it was swinging on ropes and that kind of thing.
So quite tough.
Yeah.
Anything else you did there at Miami? Colchester?
Yeah. No, I don't think there was anything much else we'd done there.
How did you get on with the rest of the lads? You know what I mean? When you all got together. How did you get on?
Yeah, I got on okay with him, yeah.
Were they from the same sort of background as yourself, or were they different types?
Well, different backgrounds, I suppose, yeah. Some of my mates was come from Dagenham and that sort of thing, London, like, you know.
No bullying?
No, none at all, no.
And what about the NCOs, the instructors, what were they like? I mean, how did they treat you? How did you feel about them?
They used to scream and shout at you if you didn't do something quite right, or... They had the upper hand, you see, you just didn't answer them back, otherwise you'd be put on a jankers. In a cookhouse, cleaning, scrubbing tins and things like that. So I tend to kind of do as exactly as I was, you know, as they wanted.
Were they fair in the way they treat you? You know, when the shouting and screaming at you, but were they fair about it?
I suppose they was, in a way, yeah.
They didn't pick on people?
No.
And did you have a specific instructor in your room or that dealt with your squad?
Yeah, we all had our own, like, separate platoons, like a sergeant and a corporal, a lance corporal.
What was yours like?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Was there a lot of swearing, or, you know?
Well, there was a bit of swearing, yeah. But, you know, some of you want to bring your mothers with you and all that sort of thing. You know, all the talk what you get in the army, but it just washes over in a way, doesn't it, sort of thing.
Do you have much contact with the officers at that stage?
They used to come round on the kit inspections, like in the mornings, if you got all your uniform and your boots all balled up, they used to come round and inspect us if you had a shave or not and things like that, and your boots are all balled up properly.
Was that it though? That inspect, or did you see more of them?
Well, they used to come out on the rifle range and that sort of thing. Like, just to oversee it probably on the
Now what would you do in the evening then, you know, or was that when you worked on your kit?
Yeah, you were working on the kit mainly in the evenings.
Could you get to
there was a naffy there.
What was it like, the canteen? What did it offer?
Well, it only offered like sweets and stuff like that. It used to get in there.
Wasn't a wet canteen, they didn't serve beer.
No, I never had beer there, I don't think.
Were there any games or anything, or was it just a room?
It was just no games in there, just a room. Like a club room, I suppose you might say.
Didn't seem to offer much.
No, there wasn't much in there.
Well, could you get out and go into Colchester?
Yeah.
What would you do in Colchester?
Just to march round there, just to walk round. We never had much money to do anything with. We just used to go out for a walk around town and, you know, come back again, I suppose.
So, did you drink?
Didn't drink much, no. I did drink a bit before I went in the army, but... No, we never drank much, not in the army.
So, what about passing out parade? Was there, at the end of the 6 weeks in December, was there a passing out parade?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Yeah, that was... That was like a drill, like doing all the drill that you've been taught, like, you know, as smart as you could march, and everybody was, you know, had to be about right anyway. But it was, once you've done the 6 weeks, you're pretty well. It was pretty good, I think. Everybody passed out. More or less.
What was the next stage? Where were we going next?
Well, I wanted to do my own trade, you know, bricklaying. And so they sent me on a... they sent me to Bury St Edmunds to do this bricklaying course there. Bricklaying test. we had to build a wall with some fancy corners and things on it, and an arch, a couple of arches in it, and a bit of a chimney stack. It's all built inside on the ground. How you finish a chimney stack off with your oversailers like that, and then dropping back, and they come and measured it to make sure it was to gauge, like you worked to a gauge, say 4 to the foot, things like that. And they come and measured them up and passed them. That delayed me.
So you didn't have any trouble with that?
No.
You passed it?
Yeah, passed that, okay, no problem, yeah.
Now, did that mean, were you put in the same, did that affect what unit you were put in at all, or?
No, I wanted to go in the REs, Royal Engineers, you know, which involved building. And I went before the CO, and he said, yeah, we can get you in the REs if you sign on. And I said, no, I don't want to sign on. I don't want to do any more time than necessary, because the money wasn't much good. I was on top wages when I went in the army, you know.
So you didn't want to, that didn't appeal to you at all?
No, not doing it, not doing another year or two in the army, no.
So you'd rather be in the infantry for
a
year
and
a half,
infantry,
or,
yeah.
2 years than...
Yeah.
How many years did they want you to sign on for? Six?
I think it was five, I think it was. 5 years, I think it was, yeah.
Now, so you, what happened next then? So
I went to Trieste.
So you didn't go, you went straight out to Trieste?
Yeah, after I'd done me bricklaying.
So when would that be?
Well, I had that was 3 months after I went in, because I had 6 weeks training, and I went down to Bury St Edmunds for 6 weeks.
Should be January.
I think it was 6 weeks. Yeah, yeah. January went out there.
What do you remember the trip out? Did you go out with the others?
I didn't go with the blokes that I went in with. You see, all my mates says already out there, but I joined up with them when I got.
So you went out with a draft.
Yeah.
Now, what do you remember of that voyage? What ship did you go on?
Well, we went across to...
you went by train?
We went across to the Hook of Holland and caught a train, went right through Holland, Germany, Austria, and then we caught the last 8 hours, was on a bus through Yugoslavia to Trieste. Well, not as joined on the Trieste.
Was that the Rossetti barracks, is it?
Yes, I think it was, yeah.
And you were joining which regiment?
C Company I was in, yeah. I was in the Northampton, we put in the Northamptonshire.
That's the 1st Battalion, Northamptonshire.
Yeah.
And Trieste is Italy then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wavers a bit between Italy,
yeah,
and
that's right, yeah.
And so you got there,
right on the borders of Yugoslavia there.
And what was your reception when you joined? You know, because this is an entirely new unit for you.
We was met by the sergeant majors, and he came down when we pulled in on the bus site, and he picked out all the tall blokes, tall fellas. You know, he wanted the tallest. But he was a nice bloke. I was sergeant Bell, his name was, and. So we got back to the barracks. You know, I saw the blokes who I was with before, and kind of met up again.
So all the people you knew?
Yeah, quite a few of them.
Now, how did you say, what was the barracks like there?
That wasn't bad over there, barracks-wise.
You remember them at all? How comfortable? Is it the same pattern as the English barracks, or different?
It's very similar, yeah. Similar pattern, yeah.
Now, what were your duties? What were you doing with C Company? How would you spend your day?
We was guarding the borders there.
That's a Yugoslavian
border? Yeah.
What did that involve?
Well, just patrolling up and down, in a way, where the border was, like, you know. looking for anybody that might happen to, I don't know whether they would attack or anything like that, you know.
And what was a typical patrol like? How many would go and what would happen?
I suppose it'd be about 4 to 6 of us, sort of thing, at a time.
Who would lead it? NCO or?
More NCO mainly, yeah. Yeah.
And how far would you go? What would you actually do on the border patrol?
Well, we're just walking up and down in a way. I mean, it's quite a way. We used to just walk backwards and forwards, I suppose.
How far?
I can remember. I suppose, I don't know, quarter mile, half a mile, something like that.
And then back?
Yeah.
And did you ever see any? I mean, what was happening on the border? Did you see the Yugoslavians, or what was happening?
No, we didn't really see anybody much.
So it was just a routine guard, that nothing ever happened?
No.
Were you guarding anything else? Dumps or depots?
No. No.
Were you doing any training while you're out there? Because you'd only had your 6 weeks, and then you'd had the RE thing. But, I mean, any...
Yes, we was over there about 3 months, and then we'd done a march through Austria. It was about 80 miles altogether. We used to do about 20 to 25 miles a day, and then we'd stop in a field and take your boots off. It was generally near a river, like we'd get up, wash your feet, and we'd put our little bivouacs up and sleep in the field. And then next morning we'd be off again, pack your bags and go again. And then I know one particular night I thought, I don't think I'll put a bivvy up, sleep in the open. About 4 o'clock in the morning it started belting down a rain. I'd been drowned. That taught me and put my old bivvy up next time. But
were you doing anything else on it, or was it just a route march?
It was a march, yeah, a march, and we marched.
No exercise in it?
No.
By exercise, I mean, you know, tactical exercises.
No. It was a march, and then the last 10 miles was up this mountain. It was called Schmelz. And we marched up there. There's snow on the top there when we got there. But it wasn't up there long, about 3 or 4 days or a week. Then they called us back, transferred to the Royal Norfolks.
Just one last thing. Were you involved in the May? That was in May you went to the Austrian Mountains, I think.
Yeah.
Were you involved in a sort of call out for a possible demonstration on 1st of May? A bit of internal security against the Austrians or the Italians, whoever was there. Sorry, it's all a bit difficult in Trieste, isn't it?
Yeah. This was in Austria.
No, I mean, when you were in Trieste, the 1st of May, there was meant to be demonstrations you were called out. Do you remember that at all? It might not have been your company.
No, I don't think that. No, I think it was, no.
So how will you get anything else about your time in Trieste before we go on? How about the Italians? How did you get on with them?
Well, we never used to get on with them. We never used to mix with them, really. We used to be on our own. We used to go out at Pepsco to a pub and have a drink, sort of thing. But
no. What about Italians in the camp? Any civilian workers?
I don't really remember any, no.
So, what about this draft? Because you were going to be drafted back to the Norfolks. Well, not to back to them. You were going to the Norfolks. How did you feel about that?
Well, we knew it was coming. We'd been drafted to Korea. We were going to go to Korea, and we was coming home. We went down to Crowborough.
Crowborough,
yeah.
How did you feel about being sent? Being sent out to Korea. I mean, it was an active service.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I was, you know, kind of apprehensive about what it was going to be like when you got there and what was going to be happening, sort of thing, you know.
Were you worried?
No, well, no, not over worried, no.
Right, so how did you get back to England then?
They brought us down in a cable car from the mountain, and then we, from Austria, I don't know, whether we caught a train back or not.
And that was May?
Yeah.
Late May?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So, where were the Norfolks then? Crowborough, you said?
Crowborough.
Now, Fred Brett said Cromer. I thought that was wrong. No, he's just misremembering. It's Crowborough, isn't it?
Crowborough. Yeah, that's at, you know where it is?
Now, what was your first impression when you joined? This is the 1st Battalion Royal Norfolk Regiment at Crowborough Camp. Yeah. What did you think of them, you know, after what you were used to?
Well, we went there mainly to get all the injections and things done and a bit of training down there before we went on embarkation leave.
But you know what I mean? What did you think of them when you... I mean, you'd been in the 1st Northamptons. What did you think of this new mob? Well, how did they receive you?
Yeah, it was all right because they had 100 out of each different regiment to make that Royal Norfolks up. You know, different regiments around. There's 100 of us and 100 of any other regiment that was there to make up the battalion, about 800 to 1,000 men, like.
So they were coming in from all over.
Yeah.
So what do you think of them? I mean, were they good? Or were they just very jumbled up.
Just jumbled up, and yeah, I kind of.
Which company were you put in?
C Company.
And were there any characters that you can remember from C Company when you first joined them?
What, in Norfolk's?
Yeah.
You get the odd one, a comedian sort of thing, but...
Any NCOs or officers stand out? Do you remember from, you know, in Crowborough?
Yeah. No, nothing outstanding, really.
So what was your job in it? Were you just a private?
Yeah, private, yeah, that's all I was, yeah.
And what was happening? What sort of duties? Any training? Special training?
We used to do training there, yeah.
Good sort.
Running up hills and things like that. Because Korea was all hills, wasn't it? That's what they expected us to do, like, with a full kit on.
That sounds pretty tough.
Yeah.
Any other aspects of hill training? Or was it just running up and down?
Yeah, more or less running up and laying down, you know, as though you're kind of attacking somebody, crawling along.
How realistic was it? As far as you were concerned?
Well, it wasn't like the real thing, but because you knew you're safe enough, but it just gives you an insight of what it was would have should be like when you know go out there.
Now you mentioned inoculation or vaccination. You probably had to worry. What were the vaccinations you got there?
We had them for malaria and I can't think. we had about, I don't know, 6 or 8 different ones there.
Any effect on it? Because sometimes they have an effect, a big effect, or sometimes they don't.
I don't know whether these blokes, they want paramedics because, you know, he was walking along with your hand on your arm and he was just dabbing his needle in as you went along. And some of these blokes were coming out, passing out. I thought, what's up with them? And anyway, this bloke had my jabs and the blood was running down my arm, you know, because I'd never done them properly. And all of a sudden I felt myself going a bit faint, so I said to someone, get us a glass of water quick. And I was okay, but I could understand why the others were passing out as coming out of there. Because these blokes, they was just jabbing you, you know, jabbing the needle in your arm.
Any after effects? As in, you know, swollen arm or illness?
Not swollen, no. No, just...
Painful?
Pain, yeah, a little bit painful, yeah.
But no sort of fever or anything?
No.